It's unusual for me to preach a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day. I'm liable to preach a Mother's Day message on Father's Day. But it's unusual for me to preach a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day. But this morning I want to preach a Mother's Day message that the Lord has dealt with my heart about. Now, I'd have just got up this morning now and preached on sin if that's what God had told me to preach on. It wouldn't bother me none. I don't preach because of the occasion. But the Lord gave me this week and laid it on my heart. And I want to be found faithful to preach what God tells me to preach. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's the kind of woman, when her husband leaves home, he's not worried about who's over at his house. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth also when it is not yet night, and giveth meat to her households and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's a working woman, as you'll see here. Not a woman that's neglected her family, but a woman that her work surrounds her family. And verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. These are terms concerning this cloth that she's making. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She's one that doesn't mind giving. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's provided some things, some clothing, and been a keeper at home. She maketh for herself makings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Look at what verse 23 says. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She's the kind of woman that she lives such a life that it reflects so on her husband that he's well thought of everywhere he goes. Notice, she's the kind of woman that doesn't get a whole lot of press for herself. It didn't say she was well spoken of in the gates. Those people in the city gates might not even known her name. But she lived such a life that it reflected glory upon her family and upon her husband. Amen. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and senneth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant, strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She's careful when she speaks and what she speaks and how she speaks it. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to again read verse 28 through 30. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. The scripture here that we read speaks of a virtuous woman. It speaks of the virtuous woman, and it just supposes, by the way, Brother John, just supposes that this virtuous woman is a mother. There's virtue to be found in a woman being a mother. It's natural to have the desire, for every woman to have the desire to be a mother. And I realize that the physical abilities to do so are not given to every human being alive. Now, I understand that. Doesn't mean there can't be a good woman. Doesn't mean there can't be a virtuous woman. But a virtuous woman will have this desire. She'll have this longing, this zeal in her heart to be a mother. It speaks in terms of not only a mother, but a mother who works very hard for her family and sacrifices greatly of herself and of her own ambitions and of her own desires and of her own goals in order to help and bless her family.
for the benefit of her children, and for the respect of her husband, she sacrifices of herself, and for the glory of God. And there is, I want to say today, there is no higher calling in life that is given to a human being than to be a parent. I don't care if it's the President of the United States. It doesn't matter to me what great officer of a company that it is. It doesn't matter to me how much money a fellow might have. I'm telling you, there is no higher calling in life than to be a parent of one of the children that God sends into this world. There is no greater responsibility in this life given than that given unto a parent. There is no harsher heartbreak in this life than a parent faces from time to time when they see their children go astray or they watch them suffer in some fashion. No greater way can a person suffer a heartbreak and heartache than that which involves their children. There is no sweeter joy, however, than what there is involved in the pride of a son or the love of a daughter. And to my friend, a parent takes in their children sweeter joy than any other joy known. A mother, you see, is a person that receives very little credit for taking on the menial task involved in raising a child. How many times, Dad, have you actually walked in and had your little girl or your little boy was sitting there thanking Mama for swapping that diaper around that was bothering them so, or giving them something to drink or something to eat, or folding up their socks after they've been washed and these things? I mean, when's the last time you walked in and your little boy or little girl just said, "Oh, Mama, I love you so much, and you're such a good Mama, and I appreciate you washing that underwear"? And oh, I mean, they just don't do it. When's the last time, Dad, you even said, "Oh, Mom, you're doing such a good job, and oh, I appreciate how it is that you wash them clothes and wash them dishes and how you wipe them snotty noses and all those things"? You see, the job of a mother is not a job that renders a whole lot of credit, but it is a job that renders a great deal of reward. Amen. And so it's one that where a person must take on the menial task involved in raising a child. And in our day, it seems very few women seem to be interested in my friend being a real mother because they know it will not get a great pat on the back for their effort. You're not going to receive a huge paycheck for it. And you're not going to get a lot of braggings on. And one day a year, only on Mother's Day, they might give you a card and tell you that they love you. And most of the time, the rest of the year, your efforts will be overlooked. I mean, that's just the life of a mother. That's the life of a mother. That's the way it works. And I'm not telling you that's the way it ought to work. I'm just telling you that's the way that it will work. And so, friend, that's what being a mother is all about. A virtuous woman, however, sacrifices of herself willingly. And she sacrifices of herself for the success and the well-being of her family. And when she sees that, that's reward enough. A real mother, that's a virtuous woman, is not seeking the pat on the back all the time. And she'll do what she does so that her husband will brag on her. But she does it because down on the inside, she's got a great sweat of love for her husband and for her children. And she wants to serve them. And when she sees her husband being spoke well of, she sees his clothes that he wears that she ironed looking nice on him, her little boys and girls with their hair clean and cleansed and fixed just right and prettied up, and she sees others bragging on how well her children are doing. That's the reward that a virtuous woman, not a mother's looking for. That's not in those that will brag on her, but rather those that will see her accomplishments through the lives of her family. Because a mother, ma'am, my friend, must not live towards self, but must live for the glory of God and for the benefit of her family. And when she's got the right heart about her, and she sees God blessing them, that's the reward that she really seeks after. Amen. Now, I thought about the life of a mother, the life of a mother. This week, as the Lord began to work on my heart about this, and I got pieces of it at a time, Brother John. I studied a little bit earlier in the week, and then I got a little bit later in the week, and I had so many conflicting thoughts and so many things that just didn't seem to match up and didn't add up and didn't work out. And Well, I mean, it was really disturbing me, Brother Brock. I didn't know how in the world I was going to do anything with all of that. And the Friday afternoon, I was riding on my way home, and I don't even know what was on the radio. I had it on to make a racket, was about it. And I probably wasn't even safe to be on the road, because I was about half dazed out of talking to the Lord. And to my friend, it seemed like the Lord just laid on my heart the order, the outline, everything that I've been studying all week, how it was supposed to fall into place, how it is supposed to work, the points, the scriptures, and every bit of it. And I was riding down the road, pulling out my pen and paper, trying to scribble it fast as I could, for I forgot it all. And I wrote down what the Lord gave me, riding down Miller Academy Road. And I wrote it down in just a minute or two there. I set it on the shelf until last night. I knew what I was going to preach. All I had to do was type it out where I could read it. How that my writing had done got cold while I was driving. I was having a hard time reading that stuff. But friend, I want to share with you what the Lord's given me on the life of a mother. The life of a mother. I thought about four different times in the Bible where mothers are referenced. That the Lord gave to me this week that I want to share with you, friend. I first thought about Hannah in chapter number 1 of 1 Samuel. How we find in Hannah the request of a mother. I see the Bible said there's a man named Elkanah that had two wives, one Penina, the other's name was Hannah. And Penina had many sons, but the Bible said Hannah was barren, and she gave unto Elkanah no sons. And the Bible said, however, that Elkanah loved Hannah, and he gave unto her a worthy portion. You see, when they'd go these days to the temple to offer sacrifice, and these men would all give unto their wives gifts based on the children that they had had for them. Hannah had no children for Elkanah, but he loved her deeply, and he gave her gifts as if she had more children, and gave unto her a worthy portion, the Bible says. But Hannah's heart was cold and broken down the inside, and Penina became her enemy, and she would rail on her and say, look you here, old Elkanah ain't going to love you, and he's not going to be good to you no more, and as you can't have for him any sons, and look what a better wife and mother that I am than what you are or ever will be. And oh, Hannah's heart was heavy, and the Bible said she went off to the temple and sought God in prayer, and Brother Allen, there she made a request of the Lord, and the Bible said that she told God, if you'll be given to me a son, I'll lend him unto you every day of his life for service of the Lord in the temple. And the Bible said that God heard her prayer and opened up her womb, and she bore a son by the name of Samuel. She waited until his weaned, which would have been those days 2 or 3 years old. And then the very next year she took him to the temple. Can you imagine taking your little boy at 2, 3, 4 years old down to the house of God where there's a man living there by the name of Eli, and just leaving him there, leaving him at the tabernacle with some man, some preacher down there, and just coming to visit him one time a year. She promised God when she requested a son that that's what she'd do. And when the son was born, that's what she did. And the Bible said that old Samuel served the Lord daily down at the house of God. The Bible said he's just a child now. Just a little old boy. They made for him priest garments and put it on his back. And he had an ephod and things. And my friend, he had the white stones hanging around his neck. And just like a full-grown priest had. And just a little old boy. He ministered before the Lord. And otherwise, in other words, he's just a little child. He started offering sacrifices before God. He started offering sacrifices in the tabernacle of the Lord as just a small child. So on and one night the Lord begins to speak to him. He said, Samuel! Samuel! Samuel got up running there where Eli was, said, yes, Lord, what can I do for you? Eli woke up out of his sleep and said, I don't know what you're talking about, son. I ain't been calling your name. I've been here sleeping. Go back and lay down. Go to sleep. Leave me alone. He goes back and lays down, and again he hears a voice. Samuel! Samuel. He comes back and wakes Eli up again. Time Rock told him, oh, Eli thought it's the Lord speaking to him. It ain't me and ain't nobody else around here. It's the Lord. And he told old Samuel, he said, son, the next time he calls your name, don't you come in here and talk to me about it. Because I can't do you any good. But the next time he calls your name, you answer and tell him, here am I, Lord. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, how whenever our children come into this life, our request ought to be unto God that we can lend them to the Lord for service in God every day of their lives. And we ought to teach them as children that someday God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to breathe the Holy Ghost and convict you and call your name. And when He does, son, there ain't no use to come to me because I can't help you. When He does, you say, Lord, here am I. Use me and send me. Oh, Hannah's request was, God, give me a son, and I'll lend him to you every day of his life. By the way, the Bible said after she lended her son to the Lord, that the Lord opened her womb and gave her more children. And she had other sons and daughters. Amen. Hannah prayed for a son. When God prayed, when she prayed, she promised her son to the Lord. God provided her son. Oh, my friend, and then she provided for her son. And now, just because she was down there at the temple or the tabernacle serving every day, and she didn't come to see him but once a year, didn't mean she didn't provide for him. At one time a year, she'd come to see him. Brother Charles, the Bible said she made him a coat. And she'd bring him a coat every year, a new coat. You can imagine the boys are growing out of the old ones every year. And so she brings him a new wardrobe each year, Brother John. And this wardrobe, and the Bible didn't tell us an awful lot about it. So I'm going to suppose some things about it this morning. I just imagine old Ham's not going to see him again for another year, Brother Matthew. So I just imagine on this coat she probably put pockets everywhere. On the inside and the outside. On the top and the bottom and the front and the back. There's pockets everywhere. I can just see old Samuel getting that coat. Mama comes to bringing the coat in. It reaches hand down in her pocket and it'd find a little goodie mama left behind, and he'd take that goodie, maybe a cookie or a cracker or some sweet, and he'd eat, and it wasn't long he'd fill it in another pocket and there'd be some more. She might have put enough pockets in it, Brother John, and Samuel found goodies all year long. I'll tell you, mama, you can't do a whole lot for your young uns, but you can lend them to God, and you make for them a garment, friend, in this life to live, and along the way share with them the goodies that comes from the Lord and the blessings that it is to be saved. Every day your children live, you ought to share with them one more goodie from heaven, one more blessing from the Lord that there is in being saved.
Every day your children ought to be able to reach in them pockets and pull out another goodie from mama with Jesus wrapped all over it. Thank God. Her request was for God to give her son. Wow! And she requested God use him every day of his life. She prayed for a son. She promised her son. She provided for her son. Then I can just see her mighty proud of her son. Amen. Can you imagine when she went down the temple once a year? 4 or 5 year old boy would be down there. And he's got on the priest's garment. And it clothes just about the same as what the priest wear, only a lot so smaller. And he's got that stone hanging around his neck, just like them priests do. She walked, she might have walked in a few times with John. And he was over there stoking the fire. Had a given sacrifice. Can you imagine how old Hannah swelled up with pride? How proud she was of her boy. I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of parents tell me how ashamed they were of the children. How ashamed they were of the lifestyle they lived. I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. You can raise them for the glory of God and be proud of your children.
Amen. Hannah, the request of a mother. And Brother Allen mentioned another one a while ago. One of the other ones I thought about was Rizpah. Amen. The Bible said Rizpah was one of the wives of Saul. Saul, king of Israel, in the book of Second Samuel. Chapter number 21, the Bible says that David had just taken over as king. And the Philistines come down there and said, for the deaths of our boys in battle at the hand of Saul, we won't pay that. David said, man, that ain't no problem for me. How much you want? I'll pay you however much money you need. They said, man, we don't want no money. I said, we want the sons of Saul. We want every one of them dead. But said, we want them all to die and hang them on a tree. Hang them in the public until the end of the harvest comes. Until the end of the harvest season. Oh, David granted their wish, lest the whole nation be destroyed. And they went out and got the five sons of Saul. Two of them were boys of Rizpah, the Bible says. And the Bible said they hung them there. And that they hang there all through the harvest until the rainy season. But old Rizpah went up there beside where there's a hanging. And she found herself a rock. Hallelujah. And she spread out her blanket on the rock before her boys. Mama, Daddy, you want to do something for your young'uns? First thing you need to do is found yourself on a rock. Amen. And don't just visit there once in a while. Spread your blanket out and set up housekeeping on the rock of the Lord Jesus. Well, Lord. And by then she spread that blanket out over that rock. And when she did, she sat down on it. And when her boys' bodies, dead bodies, their carcasses commenced to sink in, the buzzards and the other birds of prey started swirling around overhead. And a circling the dead bodies of them five boys. Two of them was Rizpah's boys. And the Bible said that she took, and as a thousand come down and all the flesh off their bodies, I should be confounded the air off, and something could not devour the bodies of her boys. I tell you, friend, they have died because of the sins of their father. Saul had sinned and had sentenced these boys to death. Rizpah could not give their life back to them, and the boys couldn't bring themselves back to life. That's just like our children are. They're dead in trespasses and sins because of Adam and because of us. Amen. And we cannot give their life back to them. And they can't resurrect themselves from death and sin. But what we can do is take us a stick. Thank God, not the power of the Holy Ghost. Fight off them fouls. That's right of the barriers. And tell them in this world. Oh, Lord. I can preach an arrow on what kind of fouls you ought to be fighting this morning. But it won't do that. You can't do that. But I'll tell you, friend, you ought to fight them fouls. Carnalities, corruption, coldness. Boy, I'm telling you, deception, compromise, carelessness. Killing our children. That's time we took up sword and fight them fouls again. And spare our children. Brother Charles, she could not give them life, but she could spare them from the death and the destruction of the enemy. I tell you, you cannot save your young'uns, but you can control where they go, who they're with, what they're doing, what they're into. Amen. Who they're associating with. You can control what's in their radios and tape players, what clothes they're wearing on their backs, what influences they're around. You can have some control over that. Whoa, my God, quit compromising just so you can be their buddy and fight the fouls before the devil kills your young'uns. Well, Brother Eddie, she fought the fouls. And she battled them off, the Bible says, until rain started to fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, thank God. Now raise the type of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God, if we could just find them long enough, sis. By the Holy Ghost to fall from heaven. Woo! Then He can do something with them. If we can just beat off the fails long enough for the Spirit of God to fall from the glory world, then He can change their lives. Save them by grace. Bring them into the family of God. The Bible said when the rain started to come fall, Brother Eddie, the Bible said some of them went down and told to David, told the king about what was going on. I'm glad, thank God, the king will hear from it. Hey, if you'll fight the battle, the king will hear of it. And he'll see your need and come where you are and take your children down. And the Bible said they took them down from there and buried them with their fathers. It's a likeness of the Holy Ghost. We'll take and bury the old man of sin when he saves our children. Let them be raised to walk in the newness of life. I can't do much for thee, but I can fight the fails. Oh, Lord. Dear God in heaven. Hannah shows us the request of a mother. Rizba shows us the responsibility of a mother. I'll tell you, as parents, our responsibilities are to fight the fails. If we will, the king will hear from it. He will send rain. And the burial of the old man will give way to the resurrection and newness of life. Hallelujah. Thank God. Rasmus shows us the responsibility of a mother. Hannah shows us the request of a mother. The life of a mother. Brother Allen preached right last Wednesday, Sunday night when he preached out of Ruth. I thought about old Naomi. She shows us the recklessness of a mother. The recklessness of a mother. Old Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, had them two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. They left the house of God. They left the house of bread. Went down in the land of Moab, a wicked place. And there they sojourned for 10 years. Elimelech died, leaving just the Mahlon and Chilion and Naomi. And the Bible said the boys married Moabite girls. I tell you, the recklessness of a parent can result in the unequal yoking of a child. Amen. You want your children to marry Christians and to have a Christian home. You don't find that at the bars and the honky-tonks and the schools and in the world. You find that at the house of God. And living for Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, the recklessness of a parent can bring about the ruin of a child. Oh, dear God. And your recklessness can ruin their home. Recklessness can cause your children to grow up in a pagan home. Your reckless lifestyle can cause your grandchildren to suffer through unbelieving parents. See things that you would not want them to see. Things that you don't want them to do. Do things that's displeasing to God. And a lot of times it can be traced back to recklessness of parents. The recklessness of Naomi wound up taking the lives of Mahlon and Chilion. They both died in the land of Moab. Recklessness, Brother John, cost her her husband, her sons, both of them, one of her daughter-in-laws, and best I can find, she never even had any grandchildren by them boys. But your life can be messed up through the recklessness you commit with your children. It matters. It's important. It does matter. Boy, all my life was told, you know, y'all are just going to be crazy. It says, you know, your mom and dad won't let you do nothing. And, you know, you all the time you're just going to church and going to church and going to church. And all that Bible they put in you all the time. And even saved folks, Brother John, are saying you just go overboard. It's just too much. And all the time all they do is just clap down on you. They won't let you wear the clothes everybody else is wearing. And go to the places everywhere everybody else is going and do the things everybody else is doing. They said, oh, them children are doing their homework. in the back seat of the car on the way home from revival every night, they will never have good sense. You better get them home. Make sure they get into bed by 7 o'clock. That's so they can sleep till the next morning, 6 o'clock. That's become so lazy they won't do nothing. And that's what you better make sure that you do. Let them sleep all day and night. And whatever you do, don't make them work. And better get them off that tractor. That boy's going to get himself killed. And oh, my whole life, the values I was raised with was run down. And I talked about, and I was told I was going to grow up and be retarded and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, friend, the way you raise your children matters. It does make a difference. You better keep them from sin, from the evil influences, your recklessness. God destroy your children. And children, you better keep them from the world and from sin and put in them some values that the devil can shake loose with the help of every into hell. Well, thank God. And when they get grown, they'll be settled. And the devil can't have his way. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm doing my best, Brother Max, and keep my little girl from some things. It's the devil corrupt her while she's yet small. So when she gets grown, she will live for Jesus. God. Boy, it's killing me to preach this, but I'm loving every minute of it. God. Boy, I'm telling you, friend, we better be careful. Our recklessness, our careless attitudes wreak havoc in the lives of our young'uns. My daddy told me last night, he said, son, since all my life, they just felt so sorry for me and Janice growing up. He said, everybody come along, they'd pat me on the back and tell me how pitiful it was that I was being raised like I was and how sorry they were for me that I couldn't do X, Y, and Z and how pitiful it was that I'd been tortured such a way to be raised like this and how none of me or Dennis, neither one, wouldn't grow up and have good sense. And he said, sometimes that gets me so bad off, I was feeling bad for myself and feeling sorry for myself the way it was I was being raised. But he looked at me with tears swelling up in his eyes and he said, but I wouldn't trade a minute of the days we spent for God. I tell you, friend, it ain't reckless to raise your children in the ways of God and keep them unspotted from the world. You better do it of the devil till your children. Keep them from this wicked, ungodly society. Separate them unto God's service. Love them and love God. Set an example before them. And come and see the power of God in your lives. Oh, dear God. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I tell you, you're just going to drive them kids crazy with all that religion, and all you do is pumping in so much into them. It'll just be in their mind and not in their hearts. Boy, I'm telling you, as a little old boy, I could quote nearly as much scripture when I was 12 years old as what I can now, Brother John. But I was lost and undone and knew I was lost. Wow, thank God. But all that Bible did was introduce me to the Holy Ghost that is going to rest my soul. Woo! And when it did, I knew I needed to be saved. I turned my life over to Him. I tell you, I want my young'uns to go up in a godly household. Oh, dear God, the recklessness of a mother seen in the life of Naomi. I want to tell you, friend, I thought about old Hannah, the request of a mother. Rizpah, the responsibility of a mother. Fight them fails. Naomi, the recklessness of a mother. And I come back to our text verse we read this morning from chapter 31 of Proverbs. And I thought about the rewards of a mother. Chapter number 31, verse number 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Never hear one rising up. Their mama was a drunkard and a harlot and said, I sure appreciate you living so wicked and in sin and a rebelling against God and raising us young'uns half barefooted. You won't hear them calling her blessed. But if you'll sacrifice and raise your child in the way of God, when the rain does fall and the king hears of it, friend, you'll rise up and they'll call you blessed. Oh, there may be some days they call you a lot of things besides blessed while they're in rebellion against the Holy Ghost. And they may talk ugly to you. They may run from the power of God. But when He catches up with them, they'll rise up and call you blessed. And you'll not regret a day that you live for God. You'll not regret a moment that you are with God in this life. They'll rise up and call you blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Well, thank God. Down in verse number 30, the favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It'll not be in silver and gold. But when you stand before God, and the Holy Ghost comes in your soul, and God speaks from the throne, and say, I gave you the responsibility of a child. And well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been found faithful. And you look around, your children are standing there saved by the grace of God. And you walk hand in hand with your family down the golden avenues of heaven. You can say, sure, it's been worth it for me. Thank God, there's a reward. There's a reward. It's worth it to do it, friend. It's worth every sleepless night. It's worth every tear-filled prayer. It's worth every broken heart. It's worth every moment, friend. Now, friend, I see a children. Oh, Lord Jesus. I know God is well pleased.
Amen. The life of a mother. Well, daddies, I haven't talked about you much, but all of everything I said pretty much would go to you too, wouldn't it? Calling in life than to be a parent. No greater responsibility in life than to be a parent. First, your heartbreak that a parent faces from time to time. No sweeter joy than a parent has. Glory of the children. I'm done. You come on, song. You this morning, what kind of legacy you're leaving your young'uns? 1 billion acres, 15 Cadillacs, $10 worth of real estate, $1 billion worth of stock in Microsoft. Be worth one testimony that your daddy, your mama knew God. You stand at that casket, you look in her face, and you know that the life's been left out of that body. All the money in the world can't replace the hope that's on the inside that says, they knew God, and I do too. And one day we'll see Him again on the other side. Oh God, help us to be found faithful. I'll say well done if we have not done well. Do my best for His honor and glory. Mom and Dad, if you're not saved, children, not saved, all of what I've been preaching about this morning is in vain to you. Oh, it's time to get right with God. Mom and Dad, I wouldn't let an opportunity a day pass by that I didn't call out the name of my children and ask God to save them. Beg the mercies of God over my little girl's soul every night that God would use her. I want one day not just to see her saved. But Granny, I want to see her stand and testify under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to see her shout the goodness of God. Hallelujah, and have the power of the Holy Ghost on her life. And I pray every night and I put my hand on her little head and beg God to stir down in her soul. Oh, Lord. And not to let my recklessness, carelessness come in the way of her life, but to live for God's honor and glory and set an example for her. Oh, God, help us today. Are you saved, living for God, leaving a good example? I'd rather know Mom and Dad are saved than to have anything else in the world left behind. Got a little land, they got a few cars and a house, and a barn, a couple of barns, and they can take and them, you know, the youngest can have every bit of that. I just have the hope and the joy of knowing that they knew Him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Hallelujah. Would you stand? You need to come pray. Do business for God, you come. Do business for the Lord this morning. I know God will help you. You need to pray. Amen. Amen. You need to come. Do business with the Lord. You need to come. Put your young'uns on the altar. Mom and Dad, come pray together. Whatever you need to do, you come. Do business with the Lord.
I'm not seeking for wisdom or power in a world I can't call my own. But I'm laying up treasures in heaven where no sorrow will ever be known.
I like this part.
I will leave this world like I found it, taking with me me no silver or gold. Now listen, but that strong hand of death has no power to break the circle of my Christian home. When I'm sad and discouraged from failure, I feel the whole world is against me and everything's wrong. All I need for courage is to whisper, thank God for my Christian home. Thank God for my Christian home.